Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We have, for the last couple of weeks, been looking at studying and teaching and preaching on the letter, the epistle of Paul to the Galatians. There are three epistles in the New Testament, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and the book of Hebrews, all have a central theme found from that passage in the second chapter, fourth verse of the book of Habakkuk, wherein it is proclaimed that the just shall live by faith, or the righteous by faith. A literal translation of that verse is, the righteous ones of me shall live by the faith of him. And that him is Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans, we could say, the righteous by faith shall live. In Hebrews, we could say, the righteous by faith shall live. Here in Galatians, the emphasis would be, the righteous by faith shall live. And we're talking about life eternal. And therefore, let's pick up where we left off last week in that 16th verse of the second chapter, Paul having confronted the Apostle Peter, you know, that one who stands at the entrance of the pearly gates. That's BS. Not true. If any have any confidence in that statement, let him be taught properly. And here's Paul's absolute declarative statement, knowing that a man is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. Oh, my microphone just fell. The faith of Jesus Christ, even we have faith in Jesus, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law there shall no flesh be righteousified. I was reading a commentary this past week about my pastor for decades, Dr. Gene Scott, who said, yeah, he might be a good Bible teacher, but boy, the way he lives, it's just not Christian. What makes you a Christian? It is by faith, not by works. There's, you know, so many fools out there judging the flesh. I want to tell you right now, I am one, if I remained in the flesh, one, I'll be kind, condemned sinner. But this book, along with the rest of the New Testament, declares that Christ gave himself for my sins that he might deliver me, I'm making it personal, from this present evil world. Paul goes on to say here in the 17th verse, but if while we seek to be righteousified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, it's one talking to you, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? You know, King James says, God forbid, it means absolutely not. For if, Paul speaking, I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In his being called by God, not by man, destroyed that doctrine which seeks to justify the works of the law, which seeks to justify the flesh or righteousify the flesh by the works of the law. He'd be going against everything he stood for. But he says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He makes this statement, I'm crucified with Christ. Now, Paul was not up there on the cross with Jesus. I was not up there on the cross with Jesus. Neither was any other man, but Christ gave himself for our sins. Let's look at a corroborating passages in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that is with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. For he that is dead is freed, or is righteousified from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we faith that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died once. I'm kind of hesitating, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. Not every morning at Mass, but in that he liveth, he ever liveth unto God, likewise reckon, that is, account, that is, speak, logizomai, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Actually, it's, but alive unto God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we can go back to Galatians. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Not only are we in Christ, but he is in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, that's Jesus Christ, his faith not even our faith. To every man, a measure of faith is given, the word says. When we begin to exercise that measure of faith given to every man, God adds to that faith the faith of Jesus Christ. In the Semitic translation of scriptures, Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by the aim, our English, by the faith of Christ, the Semitic language would say, by the amen of Christ. Jesus had no doubt in the promise of God that if he would humble himself, give me one second. I want to give you the exact scripture. It's found in the Philippian letter. Let's read it this way. Second chapter, fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is to say, being in the form of God, it didn't take anything away from God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. God said of before creation, when it was being contemplated, of making man in the image of God, the question arose, what if man misuses the freedom that God was contemplating giving to man? And Jesus stepped in and said, if they do, Father, I will step in for them. And God said, and this is not scripture, I'm giving a summation of what I believe and what I've been taught as to the relationship between God and Jesus Christ, his son. And God said to Jesus, if you do this, Jesus, I will raise you up. God promised. Jesus had no doubt. God said that he would raise him up, and therefore Jesus, having no doubt in his Father's word, gave himself up. And he did not raise himself up from the dead, but as God the Father, our Father, had promised, he would raise him up. Every allusion to the resurrection says, whom God raised up. It's the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me take this verse to heart. Take this verse personal. I'm crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, because if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And I give you all assurance, Christ did not die in vain. He did not die for nothing. I hope this is sinking in. Later on in this same book of Galatians, Paul says, if you've been taught, and the picture of the Greek is, if it's been dinned into you, and I am doing everything I can to din it into you like a pounding of a nail into a piece of wood, to show off the greatness and grace of God towards us. In his Son, Jesus Christ, that we might live by faith. Chapter 3 opens, Paul speaking to this church that he personally founded, not like the church at Rome or some other churches, but this one Paul personally got started by himself, and he's speaking to his children, as I'm speaking to so many of you that have listened here at the God School and not responded, though you've heard the truth. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? That's only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Have you heard God's faithful performance? Have you put confidence in what you have heard? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Oh, I came that day down to the altar, and I confessed my sins, and Jesus forgave me, and now I'm following Jesus, and watch my performance. Like that fool James says You know, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. We got too many of those preaching and teaching and falsely pastoring many of God's children today. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain? He, Paul's speaking of himself, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles, King James says, the word is dunamis, power among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And he's going to go on to give us some scriptures. And he says, even as Abraham faithed God, and it, that is God, accounted it, or imputed it, or spoke it to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would righteousify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone, listen to this, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all, the whole law, in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And there is not anyone walking the face of the earth ever who has done the whole law save Jesus Christ. But that no man is righteousified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. How many times has Paul said this? No flesh be justified. No man is righteousified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. That's Leviticus 18:5. Go read it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being that none of us have done all the law. Therefore, a curse was on us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse. King James translates it, a curse for us. Literally, it is a curse over us if we were subject to that curse, which is death, and the death was coming by a guillotine, and they dropped the blade. What it says is Christ stepped in the way and took the blade on himself. You get that? You get that picture? Christ has redeemed us from the law, from the curse of the law, being made a curse over us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ became a curse over us. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. He's talking about last will and testament. Today the lawyers really foul up that ongoing acceptance of a man's last will and testament. But that was, Paul was speaking before, you know, the 21st century. And lawyers. Nonetheless, now, to Abraham and his seed, spermatos, were the, it says seed, not seeds, were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was, listen, 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect, the promise of God of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. And how many times have we spoken of the true definition of faith, which is acting on the promises of God? For they're more real than any situation we may ever find ourselves in. We have all the promises of God in Christ, for they are yea, and in Christ they are amen. That is no doubt. Cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore serveth the law? Why are you serving the law? It was added. Why did God add the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. The mediator being Moses. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if there had been a law which had given life, truly righteousness should have come by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith, if you had the Greek, of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that faith. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be manifested or revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be righteousified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Listen, for ye are all children of God by, now, you have to have the Greek here, because the Greek adds the definite article. So it literally reads, for ye are all children of God by the faith. What's the faith? The faith of Jesus Christ, which puts us in Christ Jesus. And that's the God School for today.